Hey, Prime members, you can listen to More Than a Feeling early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
When I was, I don't know how many years old, but small, a barber ran his clippers just into the top of my ear. I don't remember if I cried, but I remember I was bleeding, and that might be why for a very, very, very long time, I was not into getting my hair cut. I got into this pattern of going from extremely short haircuts to letting my hair get absurdly shaggy, kind of switching between near crew cuts to a Bruce Lee style, long bangs, a false sideburns situation. I hated haircuts. It took a while, but I mostly got over that, and I kind of like haircuts now.
I'm Salim.
Oh, you are. I'm really excited.
Great to meet you.
What you're hearing in the background is me walking in to get one of my first real haircuts during the pandemic, by the way, from a local stylist named Risa here in Durham.
A little bit texture here. You can still tack on your ear, you know, something like that.
If it's just long enough that I can still ponytail when I play soccer, that'd be great.
Gotcha.
Definitely started to get gray since the pandemic started. I'd like to keep it
now,
long.
Thankfully, I'm able to trust the occasional professional enough to put myself and my very slashable ears in that pretty vulnerable spot.
Is that comfortable?
Yeah.
That said, I still don't have that one shop or person like some people do where it's not just a pleasant transaction, some small talk, but where there's a real relationship, real trust. Risa is doing a fantastic job, by the way, and maybe I'll go back this time.
Sure. Thank you so much.
But maybe I'm just not the kind of person who has a haircut home. You know, you see guys in movies and barbershops, and they walk in and they all love each other. They spill their guts to each other. It's like an extension of their living rooms. But when I go into a new barbershop, I'm low-key mad envious when people are all sharing their lives and laughing around me, and I'm kind of over there faking sports knowledge and knowing that I'm just a visiting guest. And so my barbershop crawl continues. I just can't commit. But in today's story, we talk to some people whose haircutter-haircuttee relationship is formed at a very intense time in life, one where the bonds are exceptionally strong. It's a necessity for the emotional well-being of these customers, and it turns out, for the people holding the scissors, too. Welcome back to More Than a Feeling. I'm Salim Reshamwala. In this episode, producer Reba Goldberg takes us to a one-of-a-kind beauty salon.
Man, you look gorgeous.
Thank you.
They're artists when it comes to hair.
They've dealt with everything here. Everything. One of my clients lost both her sons, young.
Those are the voices of two hairdressers and best friends, Ruth and Cindy. They run this salon, which is inside a retirement community. And some of the toughest feelings a person can wrestle with are coming up all the time. And yet, somehow in Ruth and Cindy's shop, everyone has a grand old time.
I said it's so hard for you.
She was a riot, Edith.
She loved her. She loved her shampoo so much.
She would moan.
It wasn't moaning. It was, wow.
Ruth and Cindy are licensed to do hair, not psychotherapy. But the come-as-you-are environment of their shop has a therapeutic effect on everyone who walks in the door. Today, we look at why feeling unconditionally accepted helps us cope with the toughest emotions at any age.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Beauty salon, can I help you? Yeah, how you doing, Lynn?
Hey, Reba, how's it going?
Hey, Salim, good to talk to you.
So, yeah, I know you've been working on this story. What is it about this beauty salon that makes it so special?
I know, I'm so sorry, so bored.
I mean, I've had some good haircuts in my life, but I never walk in looking for a therapy session.
No, me neither. I mean, I love Tiffany, the woman who cuts my hair, but I definitely don't get very personal with her. But this community of people I was visiting is completely different than any other salon I've ever been into.
Okay, set the scene for us.
So this salon is in a huge retirement community. It's called Glen Meadow. It's in Western Massachusetts. The owner of it is this woman named Ruth Paradine. She's a really close family friend of mine, and I'm actually using a knitted blanket that she gave me as a sound barrier as I'm talking to you.
I love that.
I've known Reba since she was, I don't know, what were you, maybe six? Maybe.
Ruth has been working at Glen Meadow for almost 30 years, and right next to her, every day, all day, is her best friend and coworker, whose name is Cindy Olson.
Cindy, hi.
Hi, Cindy.
Have you met Cindy before me?
No.
And Ruth and Cindy have created what I can really only describe to you as an oasis of acceptance in their salon. It's the ultimate safe space.
I want to know more about how this salon is a safe space. Tell me who's in the room.
Okay, so the first person I want you to meet is Charlotte. She's one of Cindy's regular clients, and this is what she told me.
These are treasures, absolute treasures, both of them.
Yeah.
I've been here almost 4 years, and they work magic. I feel like such a slut when I come in here, and when I leave, I feel so beautiful.
You are beautiful.
From coming in feeling like a schluck to leaving beautiful. I don't know what a schluck is, but that sounds like a good transition.
I think it's a cross between a schmuck and a schlub, maybe? That's how I interpreted it.
Okay.
So when I went in there, most of the women were in their 80s and 90s, and they come in there every week. And I was not expecting this at all, but there was just this amazing vibe in there, this lightheartedness and this magneticness. And I saw Ruth and Cindy fluttering around there, nonstop moving, and not just keeping their clients looking good, but making them feel really, really at home, too.
My hair is straight as a stick, but I walk out of here happy as
can be. Isn't it funny, because doesn't your sister have curly hair? Martha?
Yes, Martha has curly hair. She is artistic. She is musical.
Martha.
Very smart.
Martha. Yeah. We love you, Charlotte.
Yes.
We love Charlotte.
After doing this for so long, it's hard to measure the impact Ruth and Cindy have on their clients' lives. I followed them around for 2 whole days, and I witnessed so many small moments of care. And I think the story I want to tell you is really about the compound effect of all those small moments as they added up to a lot in the lives of these women and for Ruth and Cindy.
So I get that they're friendly and funny, but what is it that Ruth and Cindy are doing exactly?
So the first thing I notice is that whenever they're with a client, they're just really, really tuned into her physically. So whatever her physical needs might be. The residents there, they have a really wide range of abilities. So some of them are very independent. Some of them need a lot of help. And what they're capable of doing on their own can really vary from day to day. This is Cindy.
Not everybody can do this job. You can be the best hairdresser in the world, but it's not just about their hair.
No.
Because our clients just don't walk in and sit down.
Right.
You know, people with a lot of ailments, walkers, can't hear, hearing aids, no hair, who all want to look like Farrah Fawcett.
Right. We're going to use your walker to get you there.
Okay.
There you go. Ready?
They know who's going to have a really easy time getting themselves from the door to the chair. They know who needs extra help.
I got you. Just get your balance.
They know who doesn't hear well.
I can't hear now. I took my hearing aid off.
Okay.
And they know who needs a really low maintenance hairstyle because they're not going to be able to keep it up on their own.
And they lose mobility. They can't do their own hair.
Right.
Most of them, it's not just about that they used to always get their hair done. It's that I can't get my arm up. You know, there's just so many factors that you don't think about when you're younger. You just do your own hair.
And even when they were completely behind schedule, I never saw Ruth or Cindy rush anyone in or out the door. And I never saw them getting impatient about basically having to shout across the room all day just to communicate with anybody. This is Ruth.
We're loud in here. We are. We have to be. Nobody would hear us. When I first came here, and my kids were like still high school age, and they would say, Mom, why are you mad? Why are you mad? And I'm going, I'm not mad. And they'd say, well, you're yelling at us. And I thought, oh, it's because I yell all day, because I take everybody's hearing aids out, and the blow dryer's going, and nobody can hear. So I got used to yelling, and I thought, oh, yeah.
So even with all this yelling, there's still a lot of misunderstandings and people not quite exactly getting what's going on. But that doesn't stop anyone from just constant talking. And so I just started going with it, and Cindy had to help me a little bit at first.
Erna, this is Reva.
Hello. So what do you usually do? You get your hair washed and blow-dried?
She can't hear.
What'd you say about my hair getting?
She said you are beautiful. That's what she said.
We'll listen to that.
No, she wanted to know what I was going to do to you.
So seeing how easily Ruth and Cindy made everyone feel included, even when they couldn't hear, it made me think about times in my own life and when it got hard to communicate with some of my older relatives. That's not really the approach I took. I feel like I gave in way too easily. I got super frustrated. Like with my grandfather, he would be having trouble with his hearing aids, and I would just give up. You know, I wasn't going to repeat myself 50 times. So there was just this impossible chasm that I felt like we were never going to cross. And I wish that I had given it just a little bit more patience and effort. Because now it's definitely too late, you know?
Yeah, that's real. I think that's relatable for all of us who have older relatives. It always strikes me as especially unfair that a lot of the health issues that older folks are experiencing actually make them feel more and more isolated. You can't hear, so you can't talk to people as easily. And it's common knowledge just how harmful loneliness and isolation are to our mental health, and even our physical health.
Yeah.
Reva, Geneva doesn't see.
Okay.
I mean, she won't run into walls or anything, but just don't expect that she can see what you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
So at one point, Ruth introduced me to a woman who she calls Geneva, although her name is actually Genevieve, and I never really got the story on what that was about.
There's a chair right over here.
We sat down in this little room away from the salon where it was really quiet.
My name is Genevieve Miller. I'm 93 years old. I have 5 children, 8 grandchildren.
And she looked at me with these beautiful blue eyes that completely matched her sweater and just told me about her incredible life. She had had so many adventures. She lived in Japan in the 1950s as a young woman. She told me she climbed Mount Fuji.
I had a wonderful time, and there were floods and earthquakes and everything there, but I survived, and here I am. I guess God calls you when he wants you.
But now she's just really frustrated that her life is so much more limited than it was.
I'm satisfied with what I did with my life. Yeah. I just wish I could see.
Yeah. When did your eyesight start?
I was like 76 when they first said I was going to have trouble. They can't help me see better, but they try to help me from seeing worse. They try to slow it down. But I always go with the hope that even at my age, you know, maybe they'll discover something, but I kind of know it's futile. Yeah. And I can't read my mail. I save my mail for my kids to read. Mm-hmm. And I don't go, I used to go to all the activities. I can't now because I'm afraid I'll fall somewhere, you know.
When we're young and we have an injury or illness, you have this expectation that you'll just go to the doctor so you can heal and you're going to be good as new again.
Yeah, and I could really hear her kind of flipping between wanting to be hopeful that she would see better again and then realizing that was not going to happen. And I could imagine, you know, this is exactly what I would be feeling in her position, but I don't think I would have the amazing attitude that she does.
Well, it was nice talking with you.
You too.
Now I got to find my way back.
Okay, can I help you with that?
We went straight to get here, right?
We came from this direction that we're walking in now.
And then as we were walking down the hall, she turned and just really matter-of-factly said something that completely floored me.
And so many people have passed away that I know very few people now.
Yeah.
So many. I kept track of them. One year there were like 75.
In 1 year?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And it wasn't COVID, just natural causes.
Wow.
And then she was just on the move again. She was done with the conversation.
I just want to see if there's any mail.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was
you're
really
welcome.
A pleasure.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
75 people. It's just hard for me to wrap my head around that number. And it's wild to think that so many people walking into the salon are carrying that kind of loss.
That's true, and it happens at such an unbelievably rapid rate. And then on top of that, they're living with this fear possibility that at any time, anyone could just take a bad turn, and it could happen slowly or it could happen really, really suddenly. And Ruth and Cindy are there just always watching really closely for the signs. Here's Ruth again.
We're also the first ones to notice when somebody's failing.
Yeah.
Mentally and physically sometimes. We spend the most time, I think, one-on-one with them. And there is that very special relationship between a hairdresser and her client that almost no one else on earth has. And they tell us things, and it could be an asset to their care. Mm-hmm. Like, this person is not showing up for appointments. They always did, and now they're starting not to. Somebody needs to know that, I would think.
Will Helen arrive is the question.
She didn't make it last week, right?
And this care they have for their clients doesn't stop when they walk out the door.
No. We'll give her a couple minutes.
Someone's missing?
There's some that are missing all the time, and we just have to find them. And
yeah.
If we can. We can't always find them, but...
And then no one was really missing for long anyway, because if someone didn't show up after a few minutes, Ruth and Cindy would just go out there and hunt them down.
I gotta go find my client.
At one point, I followed Cindy when she went on a mission to look for her client, Fran.
Oh, you'll see. I bet she's sitting in the living room.
And that's exactly where she was.
Good morning, Fran.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good, and you?
Good, we're gonna get your hair done, okay?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
hon?
Where do I go?
We're going to go to the salon. It's down here, okay? The beauties. We're going to do your hair.
Okay.
Isn't it beautiful out? Can you see out there the snow and stuff?
Yes.
It's gorgeous, huh?
Yes, it is.
I know. Okay. You going to go this way?
Yep.
Careful of that corner. Ooh, you okay?
What a dummy.
Oh, you're fine. Just to the left.
To the left, to the left.
I don't want you to hurt yourself. There you go.
I hope it feels good to have someone come and get you like that, to make sure you're included. Ruth and Cindy, they could just be like, that's not my job, and just let it go and let someone else worry about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think Ruth and Cindy really see all of this as part of their job. They're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that all their clients get this time with them and get this emotional boost every week.
It's anything goes, apparently, what we talk about.
Yeah.
It's whatever you feel that day. Each person that sits in your chair has different needs. I think there's a little therapy going on at times. Yeah.
Yep. Just letting them
be
heard.
You just have to figure out what that is for the day. Because, you know, sometimes they are pretty upset or sad. And you got to let them be. You can't tell them they're not.
Yep. And you develop an intuition about what they might be needing that particular moment, that day. You got to know them so well that you can almost tell the mood.
From the moment they walk in that door.
From the moment they walk in, you know.
From the moment they walk in, there's some radical acceptance happening there.
Yeah, and Ruth and Cindy's clients know that they can walk in there and just be completely unfiltered, and they always are going to get an empathetic answer. A little later, we're also going to talk to this psychotherapist I found, and he's going to tell us why this accepting attitude they have is actually extremely therapeutic. Before we get to that, though, I feel like I've been talking a lot about all the struggles that Ruth and Cindy are so sensitive to. But they're also really careful not to treat their clients like having aging bodies and minds completely defines them.
So we're going down?
Yeah, we are.
That's what this very cool lady named Peggy told me when I went to her apartment to talk.
You don't like it?
I love the name of every single person in this episode.
Hard to talk and walk. Come right in, dear.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Peggy was a client of Ruth's, and her hair was in this very chic, neat silver bob.
My full name is Margaret Bertain Epstein, but everybody calls me Peggy. I've had a wonderful experience of life. I was an opera singer, but you wouldn't know that now. My voice is gone, but that's okay. I still have ears. I can listen to music and get such joy out of it. And I share this with Ruth, and she knows about it. It's not about how I feel and, you know, what hurts. It's just so refreshing to be with her for that. She has a knack of not talking down to anybody. That's pretty tricky when you deal with people of our age. You know, we're either ignored or we're, oh, you're looking so pretty today. You know, I'd like to strangle.
And I have noticed that, too, what you're saying about people kind of, it's not baby talk, but people using...
They just don't understand. It's insulting.
Yeah.
You know. I don't mind being complimented, but, you know, do it like you would to your friends. Yeah. You know, look good today, girl. You know, go off and, and leave me alone. But with her, it's like, well, talking to a very good friend. She respects my opinion. I respect hers. And it's not just me. It's everybody she speaks to. You know, she's so generous and sharing herself that she creates that atmosphere. And so we add to it.
I can imagine that being incredibly alienating, having people who are less than half your age talking down to you. It shuts down any possible opening for a connection or a conversation.
Yeah, and it really sucked to hear that that's the norm in Peggy's experience. And knowing that, it must just mean so much to just walk in the salon and have Ruth and Cindy really see her.
There's a kind of a trust that comes between you and the person who's doing the most sensational work on you, making you look better than you thought.
I saw a few people yesterday come in, looking down, moving slowly. And then I saw them literally transform in the chair. And then by the time they stood up to leave, even standing up straighter.
Because this is therapeutic. It is not just having your hair done. It's having somebody touching you and paying attention to you at that moment. She can't take her hands or her eyes off you. She's busy working. That's very rare. You know, when women are so vain, gotta get my hair done regardless. I don't feel well today, but it's gotta look good. And that vanity is something that keeps us going, actually. And Ruth knows that. She doesn't make us feel silly. You know, this is the one moment that it's not about health or our mental status. It's just how the hair looks. It's that simple.
It's funny that Peggy's saying it's just hair. It's just that simple. It's clearly so much more than just hair.
All right. Thank you so much, Peggy. It was so lovely to meet you.
My pleasure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Cindy actually used the term life and death to describe how important getting to the salon is for some of her clients.
Oh my God, it's the most important thing to them here. I'm not kidding you. They have got to get their hair done. Like seriously, it is, I swear, sometimes like a life or death. I don't know how else to put it. They get that hair done and when they leave, they are like a different person.
And they'll say right to you, now I feel better. Now yeah. I feel more like myself. Now I know I'm gonna be okay, you know.
After a short break, Ruth and Cindy take us back to the early days of the salon, before they knew how to make it all look so easy.
It wasn't in our cosmetology test, I'm just letting you know.
No.
We'll also talk to some folks who are formally trained in therapeutic methods. We'll get their take on why unconditional acceptance has such an important effect, and why it actually goes both ways.
If I'm accepting someone fully,
it's an attitude, really, a way of being. But when we apply that to ourselves, it's quite an effective coping mechanism.
Stay with us, y'all.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a car or a house. It's the four wheels that get you where you're going and the four walls that welcome you home. When you combine auto and home insurance with Amica, we'll help protect it all. And the more you cover, the more you can save. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
We're back. And to me, Ruth and Cindy seemed like two people who were born for this particular job that they're doing. But it sounds like they didn't start out that way.
This work did not come easily to Ruth and Cindy. I mean, they are empathetic people naturally, and they're insanely good multitaskers. But both of them came to Glen Meadow. They were already mid-career. They were pretty reluctant.
Hmm.
I didn't want the job.
Cindy was in her early 30s with small kids, and Ruth had teenagers. She was in her early 40s. And Glen Meadow kind of just came into their lives by accident.
My clients were all just normal, everyday, ordinary working people, some very young, you know, some older, but I had never done, you know, 100-year-olds.
Ruth and Cindy were both really aggressively recruited by these older ladies who were their customers in the outside and just somehow knew that they really belonged at Glen Meadow and that they really belonged with each other.
And it's, what is it, 25 years now?
It's 26.
Yeah, 26 years later, never a cross word. We love each other.
And whatever Ruth and Cindy thought it was going to be when they signed up for this, they just had no idea. Their early days there at Glen Meadow, they were just on a crash course of all of the hardest things that come up when you're getting older.
So we got like no training. So we just kind of got thrown into this.
And it was a big learning curve, learning how to handle them and deal with them. I mean, we had a lady one day, this is one who I think she was like 102. So now she has to go to the bathroom. Well, Ruth has to help her.
And I'm going, this is not part of my job training. I don't know how to do this, but damn it, I got to help this lady. She's so distressed.
So now my client, I'm getting her on the elevator. And as Ruth is taking the lady to the bathroom, my little lady on the elevator like falls down. And I'm like, oh my God. So
the elevator doors close. That's what I see. Boom. Yep. The lady go down.
I'm like,
and
oh.
Cindy going,
oh my God. Yeah. So I go running to get the nurses. I come back. Well, the lady's not in the elevator.
She disappeared.
So we go looking for her, and there she is in the dining room. She was too hungry. She had to eat. She couldn't wait any longer. Ah, Jesus, she just took 10 years off our life. And then I come back, and here comes poor Ruth coming out of the bathroom. Yes, it was a lot of that kind of on-the-job training that it wasn't in our cosmetology test. I'm just letting you know.
No.
And in this position they're in, Ruth and Cindy just have no choice but to witness up extremely closely what their clients are living with every day. And then they just have to learn what works, trial and error.
We had one lady, she was very articulate, and she called and said, I need to make an appointment for my mother and my sister. And she was like 90. And I went, your mother and your sister? How old is your mother? Oh, well, the mother's been dead for years, as well as the sister. She had no idea that she didn't know what was going on. There's all different kinds of that.
And you have to learn how to handle that too, because, what did I know about Alzheimer's and dementia? You know, I thought they were all telling the truth.
People come in and they sound completely cognizant and cogent and...
But they're not.
But they're not. And, you know, that's don't try to talk them out of it.
You can't talk them out of it. They think...
Just let them think they're right.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild that after not really wanting this job in the first place, and then finding out how incredibly hard it was, Ruth and Cindy decided to stay and keep doing it.
And I think that's beautiful. That's quite a commitment, isn't it?
That's Pablo Sabucedo. He's a clinical psychologist from Spain in the UK. And he told me he was pretty impressed with Ruth and Cindy, too.
During all those years, they were willing to accept their clients' experiences, acceptance of their feelings, acceptance of their complaints. And that had an effect, right? That improved their mood. They were feeling better. They were feeling more optimistic, more energetic.
This guy sounds like an amazing therapist.
Yeah, and he actually also does online therapy, but I was very professional and resisted starting to tell him all my personal problems. Pablo practices, researches, and teaches all about methods of therapy that are focused on awareness and acceptance. And he told me that this come-as-you-are environment in Ruth and Cindy's salon resonates a lot with a concept called unconditional positive regard.
A need for unconditional positive regard is a basic human need. So we all need it. Sounds like the clients you saw were receiving that. Being in an environment when you can be yourself and where you can think out loud and express how you feel and know that that person is still going to listen to you. I think that can help you create space for some of those feelings.
So unconditional positive regard is this idea from the late great psychotherapist Carl Rogers. And Rogers had a huge influence starting in the 40s and 50s. And even though his name is nowhere near as famous as Sigmund Freud's name, anyone who's studying to be a therapist learns about his ideas on basically the first day of class. And Rogers was actually really different than Freud because Freud believes that a therapist's job is rooting out all of a patient's neuroses and all their damage. But Rogers believed that people are always naturally working towards healing themselves. And therapy should help that process along by creating a safe space for them to express themselves, and then they hear themselves, and that's a healing process. And that's why Roger started calling the people he works with his clients, not his patients.
I've never thought about that distinction between patient and client before.
Yeah, and it's also something that doesn't only happen in a therapist's office. It's something anyone can practice in any kind of relationship. So a teacher can show unconditional positive regard to their student, a parent can do it for a child, people can do it in a marriage. And Rogers believed that anyone can be successful at practicing this as long as they're also bringing empathy and authenticity to it.
So this is what Ruth and Cindy have taught themselves to do.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of this magic skill, because Pablo told me that if you can make someone feel as if everything they're going through is okay with you, then it becomes okay with them.
If you give them the space to express themselves, to explore those areas of themselves that make them feel afraid or not good enough, you're giving them the chance to accept them too.
And I realize that this idea has probably been out there for so long that it seems a little obvious now, but I think even if it sounds familiar and we all kind of get it, I think there's a big leap from understanding this concept to then actually acting on it.
Sadly, many people don't have that, either in their community or at home. Maybe we have people around that really care and want to help, but they can't. Maybe they're dealing with a lot of issues themselves and they don't have the space to just listen and be there for you.
Yeah. And it feels worth acknowledging that if someone's in pain and you care about them, sometimes their pain is painful to you to witness. So maybe you can't always be the person who provides the accepting space. That brings me back to my earlier question, wondering why Ruth and Cindy decided to stick it out when not everyone in their position would have had the heart.
I think there are actually some pretty simple answers to that, and then maybe some more complicated ones.
Okay, what you got?
So first of all, I think that a lot of the time at work, Ruth and Cindy are just genuinely entertained. Their clients are easy and fun to talk to, and they have good stories about the old days. Like Barb, who talked about how she met her husband.
Where'd you meet him, Barb?
Blind date.
No.
No way.
And then how he sneakily proposed to her.
Comes out, long story short, the engagement ring was in the coat pocket, and I took it up to him.
Is this still the ring that you carried in your...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow, she still got it. Yeah.
Nice. Very, he did good. He's a keeper.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes, definitely.
I love that as a reason to stay. Who doesn't love a good love story?
Yeah, and Ruth told me it feels like a privilege to her to hear about her customers' lives. And they're at this time when they're feeling really reflective and they want to pass on all their memories. And then on top of that, I think they're also just realizing there's nothing so terrible about aging that they can't also laugh about it.
Even these wonderful little prim and proper sweet little ladies, apparently, when they have to use some effort to get out of the chair.
We just are so used to it now, yeah. We ignore it, but...
But Cindy used to tell her husband these stories.
Never believed me. So he came in one day, and he was waiting for me. He's reading the paper. And I have a client. I won't say her name. And as she gets up, it began. She was blowing gas from the minute. It was across the entire beauty salon. And all I can see is my husband. And the paper goes up, and he's like this. Because I knew he was laughing.
It was the funniest thing because of Kenny. Because of Kenny being there. You could see the paper shaking in front of him.
He was dying. So we sit her down, and she's like, oh, my God, I farted. And I'm like... I can't. That was the funniest day.
Yeah.
At least she knew. Most of them can't. I'm telling you, I think you lose feeling in your derriere.
I know. I'm dreading that moment.
I'd be so embarrassed.
Yep.
Oh, Lord. It's very hard to
that
age.
That is the hard thing about being here is you see everything that's going to happen to
it
us.
It isn't good. Yeah. Just enjoy your life. Just enjoy your life while you can.
Yeah. We do have a good time and we love being here most of the time. Yeah. If we're not crying.
Yeah, we have our moments.
Yeah. We've had days where we were planning our escapes, yeah. Remember?
Any job
how
does.
We getting out of here? We can't do this anymore.
You know, sometimes when you have all the cranky ones, you know?
Yeah.
That can be trying one after another, but
yeah.
But we get through it. Yeah.
It's lucky we're never in the same bad mood.
We have opposite.
Yeah. So if she comes in cranky, I can laugh her out of it. And she
we doesn't. Don't usually come in cranky too often either.
No.
It used to be worse when we got our periods, but then that ended, so we don't have to worry about that anymore.
No more.
No more of that.
Then it was the hot flashes.
Yeah, knife.
When the clothes came off, I went
sleeveless shirts all winter.
Our customers.
You know, we haven't even talked about the fact that Ruth and Cindy have their own personal lives and their own shit to go through outside of what their clients are coping with, too.
That brings me to yet another reason why I think Ruth and Cindy have stayed, which is that I think they realize their clients are just an incredible source of advice and guidance. And that was especially important to them during the hardest phase of parenting.
Well, we had teenagers, me first, then her. And we would be like, oh, my God, my kid is doing this. Or, oh, my God, my kid is doing that.
Don't worry about it. They're going to be fine.
Yeah, they would help you put it into perspective, you know. I mean, the customers are a great source of helping you raise your
remember,
kids.
Don't make too many rules because you're going to make them lie.
Right.
That was Mrs. Carrick.
Mrs. Carrick.
Yes.
God, yeah, that goes back. Loved She's got a better
her.
Memory for the names of
her.
Them. Yeah. Yeah, it got to the point where I listened to them so much that even my ex-husband would say to me when we were like in a turmoil about something, pull your old ladies, he'd say. See what they think.
Ask them what they think.
You know. Yeah. Sometimes they're not even trying to teach you. All you have to do is observe them. They've dealt with everything here. Everything.
One of my clients today lost both her sons. Not just one, but both of them, young.
And those are her only children.
Only children she had.
So, you know, you watch people put up with unbelievable things, and they can still somehow get out of bed in the morning and function. They can't.
And you handle things differently when you're older. You do not handle things the same as when you're 30, as when you're 80.
Everybody loses something and somebody, and we all live through that. And it feels unbearable. But here's walking, living proof that it's not unbearable. They find a way to bear it.
They've taught us about growing old graciously and accepting things because there's things that you can't change.
Here's Ruth and Cindy creating this accepting space, helping their clients cope. But it sounds like the feeling is actually entirely mutual.
Yeah, and working on this story, I found out there are some really key things that people who spend all their time working with older folks get out of the experience that the rest of us just don't even know we're missing.
As you age, the impact of negative information lessens. It's called the positivity effect.
That's Dr. Rebecca Allen. She's a geropsychologist, a researcher, and a professor at the University of Alabama. And she loves the old folks she gets to work with.
I've been in love with this field for a very long time.
Rebecca told me that she's always been drawn to older people because of how good they are at regulating all their emotions and all the self-compassion they have and how concerned they are for others. And this isn't just anecdotal. This is all backed up by research.
One of the things that our brains as humans are hardwired to do evolutionarily is pay attention to bad stuff, right? So our brains are like Velcro for bad and Teflon for good.
But as we age, for many of us, that positivity effect kicks in and our focus tends to change.
Developmentally, as people get older, they don't sweat the small stuff. They know how to deal with problems when they arise. They don't get their feathers ruffled because they've seen it before. And scientifically, there is an adult developmental theory by Laura Carstensen and her colleagues. It's called socio-emotional selectivity. Basically, it's the idea that as in any person's life, as their time is perceived to shorten, their motivation shifts from learning new things and making new connections to focusing on what's important, do more of what makes you happy, really deepening the ties that you have with meaningful others.
And it's not that older folks are avoiding their difficult, painful emotions, but their capacity to accept the hard stuff and then experience joy at the same time just seems to expand.
I think in large part, it is the motivation, the choice to focus on the good aspects and to take the bad with an acceptance approach and learn from it and try to help others learn from it. So aging and acceptance of aging allows us the opportunity to live the life that we choose to live and give to this life what we are meant to give to it.
And from Ruth and Cindy's experience, it seems like that emotional expansiveness is amazing to be around.
Yeah, and Rebecca definitely believes that. Her lab does a lot of work that connects younger people with older folks, and they do projects together. And the impact on both the younger and older people is really profound.
Once you get in it, it's just amazing. It's overcoming the barrier, the cultural stigma of being old. Living a long and vibrant life is not only possible, it's the norm. When you are open to this work and this reality and this aspect of life, then you have the opportunity to take in some of what older people are trying to put out there for us to receive. So Ruth and Cindy are right there like, yeah, buddy, bring on some more blue-haired women because this is really cool.
So this brings me to maybe what might be the most striking thing about Ruth and Cindy's story, which is that they've spent so many years there maintaining this community at the salon. And now Ruth is 69 and Cindy is 60. And they're actually starting to experience some of the really big stuff that they've watched all their clients go through over and over. And the empathy and the perspective that their clients are giving back to them is more important than it's ever been.
Wait, what's going on with Ruth and Cindy?
Well, for Ruth, it's been getting harder and harder for her to do her job because her eyesight has been getting really limited.
Man.
I heard Ruth tell her customer Marilyn about a moment not too long ago when she was cutting her husband Bob's hair and she realized it was getting so bad that she was going to have to stop cutting hair for good.
Bob is a wiggler. You know, he moves around. He's got ants in his pants. He's terrible to cut in the best of circumstances. So I'm cutting his hair and he's moving around and I got a buzzer. So it's going pretty fast to do Bob, right? And I lose focus. So the last haircut I gave him was the worst haircut I think I've ever done in my life. Took a big chunk out of the back of his hair. Good thing about Bob is he doesn't care. He could care less. And I said, that's it. I mean, what if you weren't Bob? You know, and I just took this chunk out of the back of your head.
Ruth was trying to be gentle with her clients about this news that she was leaving, and then they were being really gentle with her, too, about it.
People would have you do their hair
by the Braille method?
Yes.
I know. I can't, though. I'm so... You know, I have a reputation. I can't be going out doing things that
embarrass me. And it's better. There was a famous ball player recently who left at the top of his career, and which was a good decision.
Yeah.
And I think you're feeling about
it. So I was there in mid-December, and Ruth was in the process of basically giving her last haircuts.
So, Ruth, is this our last haircut with you?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
Oh, I feel sad about that.
And Ruth isn't the only one going through something. Cindy's husband, Kenny, had died less than 4 months before my visit there. Here's Cindy.
I had said this when my husband passed, and I had to talk to the priest. So I was saying, you know, I'm really lucky where I work because they kind of got me through it. I was always like, oh my God, I never want to die. You know, we're all going to die one day. But they've taught me how to accept that so much more in so many different ways. I mean, of course, I'm terribly sad, but like, I was very calm at the funeral. The whole thing, like, they really did teach me something.
Yeah, relax. It's just a life, you know? I mean, we all have this, and we're all going sometime. And
it's
there's just some things you have to accept.
And they actually had a few of my favorite ladies came to that funeral service.
Yeah.
I was so touched.
Whoa, that's incredibly profound. Cindy and Ruth sound like they've absorbed so much of the resilience that their clients have, but decades ahead of schedule.
Yeah, Pablo told me he thought that might have been what was happening.
They weren't just accepting their clients. They were working on their own acceptance as well, acceptance on their own difficult experiences were listening to all of that. During all those years, they were also willing to experience what grief means and what pain is through other people's lives, expose themselves to that and learn with them up to a certain extent. It's unavoidable. It makes us human. And when it was their turn to deal with some of those difficulties, they knew what to expect and how to react to that. And maybe we should be doing far more to create spaces in the community when we can be all willing to accept difficult feelings in ourselves and in others, knowing that that will help us all.
So I feel like sometimes we're the lucky ones to have worked here in a lot of different ways.
No doubt about it. This was a home run coming here. Yeah. As much as it happened by total accident and against everything. Everything was against what I really wanted to do. Taking the job, getting Cindy was supposed
lucky.
To happen. Yeah. Yeah. But it took me a while to recognize the value beyond a paycheck and beyond a job that I was getting something really rich from them and from their experiences and from their gratitude.
It's very gratifying.
And there is nothing that can compare with that. This is the huge part of life. It's not just a job like we've been talking about before. I mean, there's a lot to this, which means it's a lot to leave behind.
I'm very sad.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am very sad. Don't make me cry.
Man, it really is a lot to leave behind.
Actually, it might make you feel a little bit better to know that she's not all the way out the door yet. Ruth has been making plans to leave and pass the business on to Cindy. But as attentive as Ruth always is to the feelings of everyone around her, she realized she was overlooking something really important. One night, Cindy was over hanging out with Ruth and her daughter Bree was there, and Cindy and Bree were talking.
She was talking to my daughter when we were all making pies together. And she didn't say it to me. I just sort of was hearing it. And she said, you know, it's not just I'm at home and I lost my husband. And that's that big part of my life. But the other big part of my life has always been working and your mom. And now I'm losing your mom.
Yeah, it's all different.
And I just, and all of a sudden I felt like, holy fuck. It's like I've been kicking puppies or something. You know, I was only thinking about, you know, leaving her a good business, getting her set up in this. And then I'm not even thinking, she's going to miss me. It's me. She's going to miss. And I thought, yeah, I mean, we've been the other half of our lives, you know, I've been husband and family, but each other have been just as much our lives.
Right.
And then I thought, you know what? I don't have to leave. I have to stop doing hair. But I don't have to leave. I could put on a color. I can see well enough to do that. And I'll be, you know, still doing the book work, paying the bills. And it's not hard. And when she's ready, I'll help her do that. But it doesn't have to be now. It doesn't have to be for a year, yep. If that's what it needs to be.
It'll be different, mm-hmm. But it's a new beginning. And she's not leaving us completely, so.
No.
I feel much better about it. Much better. Yeah, I was a little panicked.
You win the lottery and we'll all leave.
I'll win the lottery that I never play. I know. Okay. Good Lord. Yeah.
Just one last word before we go to the credits. The More Than a Feeling crew would like to dedicate this episode to the memory of one truly fabulous lady. 94-year-old Margaret Epstein, a.k.a. Peggy, who passed away on February 20th, 2022, as we were editing this episode. She's the one who told Reva about being an opera singer and warned her about talking down to older people. We found out that Peggy loved the Mozart opera, Così fan tutte. That's what you're hearing in the background. So Peggy, this one's for you. Next week on More Than a Feeling, a jealousy special with two very different stories. First, we'll talk to two social psychologists who turned their scientific minds onto their own friendship and their friendship jealousy.
I could just say, you know, stop hanging around Keela and then baseball bat.
I love how we're getting very specific into what you would but would it do?
Then we'll head to a country that has a reputation for jealousy, and we'll try to figure out when and how that reputation might have started.
A pinch of healthy jealousy is the confirmation that a love relationship can last.
This echoes something from the 1964 film The Magnificent Cuckold.
Quando si vuol bene si è sempre un po' gelosi.
The actress Claudia Cardinale's character says, when one is in love, one is always a little jealous.
I don't want y'all to miss this one. Meanwhile, if today's story inspired you to want to work on your own capacity for acceptance, we got something that might help with that. The show is part of the 10% Happier Podcast Network, and our 10% Happier app has all kinds of helpful meditations. Some of our favorites are Letting Tough Emotions Be with Sharon Salzberg or Resilience with Sebane Selassie. Because you listen to More Than a Feeling, you can try the app for free for 30 days. Visit 10%.com/more. That's 10%, all spelled out, .com/M-O-R-E. Or go to the link in our show notes. And you can always get in touch with us about an emotion you've been grappling with by sending us a voice memo at morethanafeeling@10%.com. You gotta spell out T-E-N%. Who knows? You might end up hearing yourself on a future episode. We're also on Twitter at podfeelings, P-O-D-F-E-E-L-I-N-G-S. If you like what you heard in this episode, let us know by giving us those 5 stars over on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show. More Than a Feeling is produced by Reva Goldberg, Mark Pagan, Will Coley, Alice Shaw, and Kim Bikema. Our managing producer is Kimmy Regler. Our executive producer is Jen Poyant. Scoring, mixing, and sound design provided by Ultraviolet Audio. Production support for this episode was provided by Connor Donahue and John Law. Our theme music was composed by L. Michaels Affair. Shout out to Leon Michaels and Pia Malik for this beautiful theme song. They made it especially for us. Thank you to Danny at Big Crown Records. Additional music provided by APM. Music licensing help by Rebecca Grierson of 64 Music. Fact checking for this episode provided by Robin Palmer. Special thanks to Jess Goldberg, Ben Rubin, Dan Harris, Matthew Hepburn, and Tony Magyar. This show could not have been created without you. That's a lot of people working hard, and I'm feeling a lot of gratitude. But maybe Edith said it best.
No, it wasn't moaning. It was, wow!
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to More Than a Feeling early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them may very well surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million-dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everybody, including her own mom, that the name sounded like a dive bar. On the podcast How I Built This, host Guy Raz talks to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt, failure, and how they were able to overcome setbacks on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. Listen early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more business content like this, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many, many more. Wondery means business.